This reading is taken from John chapter 17, verses 6 to 9. Jesus prays for his disciples. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost, except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, and any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they may be truly sanctified.
1 Peter 3, verses 18 to 22. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him.
Friends, we come now to our second sermon on John chapter 17, and we're going to be looking this morning at verses 6 to 19. Let me pray for us. Lord, teach us from your word, we pray. We need your encouragement and help to live in this world. Amen. I am regularly reminded, as a vicar, of what a privileged role and job I have. As well as constant pastoral interaction, there are particular moments in my ministry when I see people at significant moments in life. I hear the conversations going on. A father and daughter at the door of this church. Before he walks her down the aisle, they exchange words together. Or I think about going to a home or a hospital or a hospice, and I'm with a family as someone is on their deathbed, and there's chances to hear those last words between the nearest and dearest. It's a great privilege for me to have those moments because I'm listening into, as it were, private conversations. And in John 17, we have the privilege of listening into a private conversation. Jesus Christ is praying to the Father, and he wants us to listen to him, hence his preservation for us in John's Gospel. Last week, in our sermon, we looked at verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Glorify me is not a selfish prayer, because a pathway to glory was to be the cross, with huge physical suffering, but above all, spiritual suffering and agony. And then in these verses, which we're looking at today, the Lord Jesus prays for people on earth. And that's us also by extension. As Jesus leaves the earth, he knows his followers will stay on earth. It's important to understand the word world, as here it's not the cosmos or creation. Now, the world is humanity, men and women in opposition to God. And believers are those who Jesus has called out of the world to belong to the Father. It's those people Jesus is praying for those who are God's people. Verse 6, I revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they've obeyed your word. The world is those in opposition to God, which is all of us by nature. And Jesus wants to take us out of the world, one of those the Father's given him. In his sovereignty, God has from eternity had a people. And now as Jesus reveals the Father, people hear and believe and move from a world in opposition to God to belonging to God. Verse 6, I've revealed your name. That's not a hidden personal pronoun. Think back to the Old Testament. The name of God speaks of the character of God. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses encounters God at the burning bush. And Moses is told to go back to people and tell them the Lord will take them out of Egypt into a promised land. And he asked the Lord, what name shall I tell them? And the Lord says, tell them my name is Yahweh. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. He was pointing out what God was like. But look at the New Testament. Jesus echoed that divine name in those great I am sayings. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and so on. And what he said is, I'm revealing the Father to you. Know Jesus, the New Testament says, and you know the Father. Hear the words of Jesus, you hear the words of the Father. Verse 7. Now they know that everything you've given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew as certain as I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. The wonder of the gospel is we're taken out of the world to belong to God. The question comes, how should we relate to the world? What is our identity if we belong to Jesus Christ and God the Father? Well, first thing to note is we're resident in the world. Verse 9, we read this. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they are yours. These words do not mean he's indifferent to the world. We know God loves it. John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He longs that more people should enter the kingdom of God. He has resident in the world, but actually notice verse 11. I remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. The believer is resident in the world, but that's tough. All around us are different beliefs and behaviours, values and lifestyles. I am the way to God, and it's a cross which makes that possible. Theologians talk sometimes about the scandal of particularity. which is saying there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There are not lots of ways to God, not lots of different understandings. There's one way to God and one revelation from God the Father in Jesus Christ. We all sense a pressure to withdraw from the world. It's not what God intends. We sense a pressure to conform to world outlook. That's not what God intends either. Listen to verse 15. My prayer is not that you will take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. We're not to withdraw or blend in. Yes, we are, as his people, resident in the world. And then secondly, we're to be different to the world. We touched on this in some way already, but verse 11. I remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. Revelation of God in Jesus Christ. So what Jesus praying is keep them believing in the revelation. And yes, then also we have a spiritual unity with the Lord as we're kept in that revelation. Of course, in the first century and earlier, all Jewish people were monotheists. And that's when the scandal came, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The most momentous claim. And the opposition in the early church, and still today, and forgetting about Christ's uniqueness. See, verse 11 is not just believing in right things, but having that relationship, as Jesus says, verse 11, I'll remain in the world no longer, but they're still in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so they may be one as we are one, in that relationship. And it goes on in verse 13, and he talks about the full measure of joy being given to a Christian believer. You see, the Christian life is not simply creedal, it's about a relationship. And yet there's pressure from the world. Verse 14, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. They're not of the world any more than I am of the world. And the pressure also comes, verse 15, the devil. That's not so medieval or ancient. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And we know the power of the evil one. We see it in the world, where there's destruction, just think about some of the terrorist organisations. We so also see it in our own hearts. And what Jesus prays is that we'll be protected from denying Christ, either in our belief or in our behaviour. We're not to blend in. I'm missing a poster that said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? A good question, isn't it? Because we're meant to be different to the world. And then finally, we're to be a witness to the world. Verses 17 to 19. Let's start with verse 19 here. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. That has a sense of being set apart. And the same language is used of Jesus as of a believer. In the temple, there are particular utensils which were used in the service of the cultus there. And things were set apart for holy use, set apart for service. And Jesus is saying here that the believer is set apart for service in the same way as he set himself apart to serve. Come back in your mind's eye to 1947. It's Her Majesty the Queen's 21st birthday. She's in South Africa with her parents. She says this: "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong." A life of service, whether short or long. And actually Jesus, his was a life of service. He had a mission he came to do. "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world as well." Verse 18. Think about Jesus' life. He loved children, who in the ancient world had no status. He loved the outcasts, the poor, the prostitutes, the lepers, the tax collectors. He spoke with women. He loved them. There's no rabbi in Jesus that would ever speak to a woman in public. Jesus came to serve. It meant him coming into the world. And you and I cannot be witnesses if we're not resident in the world until we return to be with him in our eternal home. Do you think this coming week about what it means to be resident in the world, different to the world, but also in our lives, a witness to the world. Amen. I'm going to sing the hymn, "Before the Throne of God." I love the line here, which reminds about Jesus' identity. He is the great, unchangeable I Am.